Welcome to The Debate. Today, we're diving into, well, a really ambitious theoretical framework, David Noel Lynch's The Noelian Universe, A Complete Framework. Now, this isn't the film director David Lynch, but a researcher who, after a reported death experience, not near death, but death, set out to unify, well, pretty much everything, cosmology, quantum physics, even consciousness. And what's really striking is that this paper was co-written using some very advanced AI models, Claude Sonnet 4.5, Gemini 2.5 Pro, and ChatGPT-5.
Right. And the theory itself, KUT, the Noelian Universe Theory, it's trying to bridge that huge gap between general relativity and the standard model. It does this with a, let's say, radical idea about time itself, proposing this ternary structure, past as control, TP, the instant as consciousness, TI, and the future as chaos, TF.
Exactly. And it's all underpinned by this core axiom, the bounded infinity axiom. Lynch states it as negative C greater than infinity less than C positive. That's negative C infinity C plus. The idea is that our universe is essentially a finite projection viewed through some kind of dynamic aperture or boundary. So the big question for us today is, does QUT's unification, connecting things like dark energy and dark matter through a fundamental U16 gauge symmetry, and even bringing in concepts like cosmic memory, CRAM, and consciousness, does this offer a solid, testable new way forward for physics? Or is it just too much? Does its complexity, its scale and variant structure, rely on too many unproven assumptions that just, you know, undermine its scientific credibility?
And that's the core tension. I'll be arguing that while the scope is impressive, the theory feels overstretched. Its complexity and reliance on unverified mechanisms, particularly this Cramwellian resonant attractor manifold, CRAM, make it lean more towards philosophy than physics right now. The unification needs precision, not just breadth, and I think that precision is currently missing.
Okay, I understand that focus on precision, but let me argue for the elegance first. I think the real power of KOT lies in how it tackles the dark sector. No need for hypothetical particles like WIMPs. Instead, the theory proposes the six-component field with a U16 gauge symmetry. This symmetry naturally gives rise to six fundamental bosons. And here's the key bit. The gauge fields tied to the temporal dimensions are the dark sector. Dark energy becomes the control boson. Think of it as an outward push from the past. Dark matter is the chaos boson, an inward pull towards the future.
So we stop hunting for particles and start looking for specific field interactions. And crucially, KUT makes a quantitative prediction. For its core dynamics, this Kuno-Willian ontological triadics, or KOT, to be stable, the ratio of dark matter density to dark energy density has to be roughly 0.4. This isn't a parameter fitted to observations. It comes from the structure of the theory. And this leads straight to a very concrete test. Any geometric non-Gaussianity in the cosmic microwave background, the CMB, must follow a specific pattern, the chiropentagonal tiling, or what they call the chiro-Q lattice. That's a very specific prediction. It's either there or it isn't.
I see the appeal of generating the dark fields from symmetry. I do. But the sheer conceptual scope, it still feels like a major weakness to me. KTUT tries to link up every major unsolved puzzle, fine-tuning, the cosmological constant, quantum gravity, the origin of consciousness, all under this single mathematical framework. That makes the whole thing incredibly fragile. If one part fails, the entire structure could potentially collapse. And look at the complexity added just by RAM, the Noelian resonant attractor manifold.
But it's necessary for the renormalization group flow stabilization.
Necessary, maybe. But look at how it's defined. It's governed by this really complex, nonlinear PDE, like Alan Kahn or Ginzburg-Landau. And that equation is loaded with parameters, manifold relaxation time, stiffness, mass terms that are, frankly, unverified. They're free parameters. So instead of a clean, predictive solution, CRAM seems like this, well, this theoretical toolkit you can adjust to make things fit after the fact. That's not prediction. That's flexibility masking complexity.
I wouldn't call them free parameters in that sense. They're physical descriptors needed for any dynamic memory substrate. If a manifold is going to filter information and set constants, it has to have dynamics, right?
Well, okay, let's talk about another claim. Deriving fundamental constants geometrically, QSUT attempts to get the fine structure constant alpha from the geometry, specifically the ratio of a Connewheelian soliton's cross-section to the coherence domain of this Cairo Q-lattice vacuum structure. They present this as key evidence. But then you read the paper and they admit the calculation. Their preliminary calculation using estimated factors gives a value that's off by a factor of about 25 from the real value of 137. They call this order of magnitude agreement. I'm sorry, but no, if you're proposing a new geometric origin for a constant as fundamental as alpha, you need precision. Being off by a factor of 25 isn't just needing refinement. It calls the whole geometric principle into question right from the start.
I think you're focusing too much on what's explicitly called a preliminary number needing refinement. Things like quantum loop corrections and full RG flow aren't included yet. The strength is the proposed mechanism that the constant arises from a balance between the particle's internal structure, this torus knot geometry of the Connewheelian soliton, and the external vacuum geometry set by Kram. That connection itself is structurally powerful. But let's pivot back to the dark sector, because there the theory offers immediate explanations. Think about the null results from WIMP detectors. Kute's chaos field interpretation explains this perfectly. If dark matter isn't a particle, but the control boson field, then of course particle detectors won't find it. And this predicts something particle models can't. Dark matter halos should show subtle geometric anisotropies, reflecting the underlying Cram structure.
Okay, the null results argument is fair. The failure to find WIMPs definitely opens the door for new ideas. But the chaos field hypothesis, even if elegant, still looks pretty much like standard particle dark matter in our current large-scale observations. Kute does predict things like chaos field lensing subtle effects, like a tiny extra redshift for light passing through high chaos density. But until those kinds of non-standard predictions are actually confirmed, maybe through correlating cluster lensing with the CMB geometry you mentioned, until then, the chaos field is just, well, a different label for the gravitational effects we already see. You're arguing from the theory's internal logic. I'm asking for observable proof that distinguishes it.
And that's a reasonable demand. But I think you're underplaying the implications of the Knowellian ontological triodynamics, the KOT. That's really the engine of this whole thing. The claim of scale invariance is absolutely central. KOT argues that KOT operates the same way at all scales, from particle spin states up to cosmic cycles. And this isn't just some philosophical analogy. It's presented as a mathematical outcome of the fundamental conservation law applied to the Knowellian tensor, which is supposed to track all these influences across the different time dimensions.
I'm just not sold on that universality being proven by the math. The paper uses analogies that, well, they seem like quite a stretch. Comparing cosmic expansion and contraction to biological evolution, genetic templates, mutation, natural selection. Okay, maybe you can write down a conservation law for an abstract tensor, but does that really mean the underlying mechanism is identical? And why leap from cosmology to biology, or even more radically, to consciousness? Why assume solving one solves the others?
Because KRAM is the proposed physical bridge. This is maybe the wildest part of the paper, where Kute tackles consciousness directly. It tries to take Rupert Sheldrake's idea of morphic resonance, usually seen as pretty speculative biology, and frame it as a fundamental cosmological theorem. Morphic fields become these stable, high-coherence patterns within KRAM, and the theory suggests everything, whether it's a developing embryo or a collapsing cosmic void, naturally flows towards these established patterns. So the brain resonates with these universal structures because it's solving the same fundamental problem of balancing order and novelty that the universe is. It's scale invariance providing a potential physical basis for consciousness rooted in cosmology.
That's certainly ambitious, and it does highlight the internal coherence you mentioned, but we still have to come back to the empirical test, the prediction about the CMB having this Cairo Q lattice geometry. As you said, that's the key falsification point, and it is testable with current Planck data using topological methods.
Exactly. There's a clear empirical path forward, and the simulations they show in Section 5, they demonstrate that the basic mechanism, this interplay of control and chaos, can generate features that look like the acoustic peaks in the CMB power spectrum. It shows the physics isn't completely detached from reality.
Okay, but let's look closely at those simulations. The paper itself notes the best fit they have so far on a coarse grid has a chi-squared per degree of freedom around 15. That's not a good fit. It suggests qualitative resemblance at best, not quantitative agreement. Plus, the simulation is only 2D, representing the internal Cram manifold. It doesn't include the full 3D spatial dynamics or the polarization data, which are crucial for comparing properly with Planck. And here's the really big assumption. Coote claims the fundamental scale setting the CMB peak positions isn't the sound horizon, the cornerstone of standard cosmology, but the characteristic wavelength of these Cram attractor valleys.
But why call it an assumption? If the ternary time dynamics are real, that's a consequence.
That's a massive substitution. The sound horizon is tied directly to the physics of photon decoupling in the early universe, something we understand reasonably well. Replacing that scale with one derived from Cram's internal parameters, its stiffness, its mass terms, based on a preliminary, high chi-squared 2D simulation, that's asking us to throw out established physics based on very shaky computational ground right now.
Look, if topological analysis of the actual Planck data shows that chirotiling signature, then the standard acoustic physics will need reinterpreting through Cram. It doesn't matter if the simulations are preliminary. That geometric pattern will be the decisive evidence, the smoking gun that could validate the whole structure, or, yes, show it's wrong.
That's a very big if. And until that if is resolved with high precision, skepticism is warranted, especially given the radical nature of the claims about time and reality.
Okay, so to wrap up my view, KUT presents a potentially revolutionary framework. Through its U16 symmetry and the Caram concept, it offers mathematically specific, elegant solutions for some of the biggest problems in physics, linking the dark sector, fine-tuning, and even consciousness. Its claims of scale invariance lead to clear, testable predictions like the CMB's chiral geometry and potentially void memory effects. These offer concrete ways to either validate or falsify the theory, possibly within the next decade. It's a bold step, but maybe one that's needed.
And to summarize my position, while KUT is undeniably ambitious and intellectually stimulating, it currently relies too heavily on complex, unverified theoretical machinery like Cram and KOT. Its interconnectedness is a double-edged sword, a failure in verifying a key prediction, whether it's the chiral signature, the alpha calculation needing much more than refinement, or finding distinct chaos field lensing could bring the whole elaborate structure down. For now, its explanatory ambition seems to outstrip its quantitative verifiable evidence. We need more rigor before embracing such a radical overhaul.
Agreed. Ultimately, KUT's fate hinges on whether future work, theoretical refinement, better simulations, and crucially, observational tests can turn its conceptual elegance into solid, undeniable empirical facts. There's certainly a lot more digging to do in this material.